driving or anything, and all of this was started prior to the suspension.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Young, those kinds of problems are don't really have anything to do with what we're trying to accomplish with this bill. All I can suggest is that when you have those kinds of constituent problems, that you call me directly, and often I can help.
Yeah, but what that tells me is if you have somebody in your corner, you can get decent service and the kind of service from the state that you pay taxes to get anyway. And to me, that really bothers me. The people that have been getting a runaround from your Department of Motor Vehicles for 2 weeks can come to me and I can get it fixed in another 2 weeks. And I think it would never have been fixed if they hadn't gotten a hold of me or Senator Hamby. And it's fine for you to give me your number doesn't satisfy the problem of whether we're giving you the kind of authority that we need to give you to solve problems out there for people that have driver's licenses. And it shouldn't be on a privileged basis.
Steve.
Mr. Chairman and members, Tony, we had talked about, before really getting into the bulk of the bills, kind of talking about how the licensing system works. And at some point, I'd like to give you the opportunity to do that for the members and get more into the definitions. Right now is probably not the appropriate time to do that, but before we get too far into this, I think that might be beneficial for members to do that.
Representative Brigiotti.
Tony, I've been in this system quite a while, since 77, and serving on this committee. Back when I first started going back into my district, people knowing that I was their representative, there was a way to solve almost every problem that arrived, going through Vanita or somebody. But now, unless there's been a drastic change in the last 4 or 5 years, which I feel now it's getting tougher and tougher to solve all of these problems. Now, when was the big change? Have we changed the law to make it where you're more restrictive, buddy? Representative Young is right on track. It's tougher now than it was 5 years ago to get things to happen for people that are paying your wages, and mine too. And I don't know. I'm really a little worried about signing something that's changing the code that I don't know enough about.
Mr. Chair, Representative Brigiotti, and Representative Young, I'm frankly, shocked to hear that, because I thought we were giving good service, and I'm really surprised. This is the first I've heard that somehow you seem to be having increasing difficulty in dealing with this, and I was certainly...
It's a lot worse lately than it has.
I was totally unaware of that. And if there is a problem, I'm glad you brought it to my attention, and I'll see what I can do about it. All we're doing, for what it's worth, in this entire bill, is to return the code to the way it was before the code rewrite. That's all it does, is it puts it back to the code that you originally passed. We're just correcting errors, drafting errors that we found in the vehicle code.
Did you find them, or did some instance, some particular case arise that made you address the problems that these changes for the reason that these changes are needed, did some case arise, or did you just find it in there somehow?
Mr. Chair, it was a combination of both. Sometimes that there would be a specific situation that would come up. Other times, somebody would just be reading the code one day for some particular reason and suddenly stumble upon one of these. Sometimes they were reported to us from people outside. There was a problem, it'll probably surface in one of these bills, dealing with the drinking and driving laws related to use of certain kind of evidence in trials. That was brought to us by prosecutors. So the way we find out about these code problems is a variety of ways.
Well, let me give you, I think I can kind of feel how the committee, at least some of the members of the committee feel. I think I know, because when I saw what we were going to hear yesterday, there are key words in the the public notice that license suspension, that's a red flag. I don't care in what context, even if it just is fixing, that's a red flag. And then you deal down here with fuel conservation speed limit in the next one. That is a red flagger. And then down there again, revocation and reinstatement of driving privileges, and then there was something to do with blood tests as a part of wherever I saw that. But those are all red flag things. And even though the bill is innocuous, and even though the bill just fixes a few little things, those are red flag words. And that's why when those words are there, we're going to get this kind of a discussion practically almost every time, I would guess. Any disagreement there?
Mm-mm.
No. I think that's probably why we're where we are. I think we need a discussion of the process of suspending and whatever. And maybe we better do that at some point in time, or there will be a bill or amendments to one of these little bills that will require us to do that, I would suspect.
Mr. Chairman, when we talked about scheduling the bills and how you wanted to have things going, it was, you know, I was trying to get us to the point and ease us into the public hearings. And while these bills are innocuous and do have red flags in them, there's no reason why the committee cannot address any of the issues that these bills happen to raise in the course of discussion on this bill. There's no reason why Representative Young's, Peterson's, whoever concerns cannot be worked into this bill.
Well, I have no intention of restricting the committee's right to express themselves. And so I guess what we, you know, I don't want to continue through with that type of a discussion. I think we've about knocked it in the head at this point. At least we've got the word out that we're concerned. And so maybe what we'll do is just at this point, are you continue on? Are you about through with this thing? And then see if we can't get into another mess on the next one, okay?
I imagine his level of enthusiasm is somewhat diminished.
Would you like me to continue, Mr.
Chairman?
Right,
go ahead.
All right. In Section 2, the word permit is used where the term driving privilege should be used. We're talking about issuing occupational permits, kind of a limited license to somebody whose license or driving privilege has been suspended. And instead of talking about somebody whose license or driving privilege suspended, the existing code talks about the permit being suspended. Which
would that be, then there are people that you want to, whose driving privileges you want to suspend, and you can't do that because the word says permit. Is that the way it is?
I mean,
if they don't have anything at all.
My sense is that in this particular case, at it could conceivably cause us problems, because if you interpreted it literally, it would mean that we could give, what, occupational permits only to people whose permits would be suspended. And most people don't have permits. I mean, if you take a worst case, it could actually severely limit our ability to issue occupational permits, which, as I understand the committee, is you actually want us to, you know, to be more forthcoming rather than less so. At best, it's potentially confusing. So, Section 3, under the old code, it was an offense to make a false application for an ID card. Through an error in the rewrite, it is no longer an offense to make a false application for an ID card. This simply makes it an offense.
That's an improvement. I think we understand this.
And finally, the old code for years and years and years gave us authority to suspend drivers who violated the restrictions on their licenses.
In other words, wearing eyeglasses or...
Precisely. And we were always very restrained in the use of that. We gave them, you know, several warnings before we did anything. Somehow that authority got left out of the code rewrite, and we're asking that it be restored. As I say, we are restrained in that. We give people several warnings before we suspend. And then we only suspend for as long as it typically the situation is that they no longer need the glasses. And so typically what they need to do is to go see their eye doctor and give us a piece of paper that indicates their, or come in for a vision test at one of our field offices, and then we can just take the restriction off. That is 2208. Includes my testimony.
Any more discussion on 2208?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Hayden.
Just very briefly, going back to Section 2. Tony, during his testimony, used the words driving privilege and right, perhaps not interchangeably. But this is just 30 seconds of philosophy here, so you'll know where I'm coming from. We tend to say that driving in Oregon is a privilege. My feeling is that if we're going to tax the people for a service, and everybody pays taxes for the roads in some way, whether they ride the bus, a portion of that is gas tax, I think driving is a right that can be withdrawn when it's abused, rather than a privilege to be given at the discretion of the state. That's all. You can go on with your...
Any more discussion? Okay, we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2208 and go to 2213. But I'm not guaranteeing anything, so go right ahead.
One thing about it, Mr. Chairman, he's not saying house cleaning, it's just a cleanup.
Right.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, like House Bill 2208, House Bill 2213 is essentially a series of unrelated code cleanup. There are three fixes in Section 1 of the bill, and I should probably be honest with you that there is an exception. The first item that I will talk about is not a code problem, and I will not pretend that it is. This is something that we've stumbled across, and it's something that we'd like you to fix, but it is not. We won't blame the drafters of the code rewrite on this one. Right now, we may not, once we've canceled a license, we may not reissue a license for 1 year. And typically we cancel because people are not entitled to a license or because they made a fraudulent application. We think the 1 year makes sense for somebody who has submitted a fraudulent application. They've done something knowingly, violated the law, and a 1 year cancellation seems appropriate. However, if they were canceling them because they're not entitled, and that's typically because they've come to us from another state, and at the time of the application they're suspended in the other state, we think that we ought to be able to give them a license as soon as they've corrected whatever the problem was. If they've gotten their license reinstated in another state, we think we ought to be able to give them a license. And that's what our amendment to 809.310 does.
Are there questions from the committee? Representative North.
The definition of cancellation, is that sort of a generic that covers all means of suspension, revocation, whatever?
Yes.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Madam Chair, Representative Norris, no. There are several, it is one of several ways that we can take driving privileges away. And I'll briefly describe them so you can see the difference. Suspension means that, I like to think of it as sort of hanging the license from the ceiling. It still exists, but it is temporarily withdrawn.
Yeah, I understand.
Revocation and the charge, if you drive when you're suspended, of course, is it's either a misdemeanor or a felony. It is a crime. It is not a traffic infraction. Revocation means that the license no longer exists.
Yeah.
It is gone, and driving while revoked is a very serious offense. And it means that because the license is gone, the only way you can get it back is to completely reapply. Original license fees, drive tests, the whole business. Finally, cancellation is another form of complete withdrawal, but if you were caught driving, but it just means that the license is, it is simply not there anymore, and if you were caught driving while canceled, the charge is simply no valid operator's license, which is a traffic infraction. So it is the least serious withdrawal that we can do.
Yes.
So, again, that it's still real gray between a suspension and a cancellation for me.
Suspension is a temporary withdrawal. Cancellation means you've lost it. And to get your license back after a cancellation, you have to reapply. Okay. You have to take the drive test. You have to take the written test. You have to take the vision test. And you have to pay the original license fee. You have to start all over again. But the difference is that if you drive while canceled, it's a traffic infraction as opposed to a crime.
Might I ask, in what separate situations might those be used? Why would one cause a cancellation and another one a withdrawal?
Cancellation is used for the least serious kinds of offenses. We have to issue licenses instantly across the counter, and there are certain situations where we can't. We're now on, all of our field offices are online with our main file, so we can prevent issuing you a license if you're not entitled to it here in Oregon. But when you come to us from another state, we can't instantly check your license status in 50 states. So we may find out 2 weeks later that you're suspended in wherever. So we simply cancel the license we issued you. You're just not entitled to it, or false application. Not a serious offense. Suspension is reserved for serious traffic offenses, typically. Drunk driving, it's also can be used for fail to appear in court, fail to comply with a court order, reckless driving. Those are typical suspension offenses. Finally, revocation is reserved for the most serious traffic offenses: negligent homicide, assault with a motor vehicle, murder involving a motor vehicle.
Thank you, Mr.
Madam Chair. Tony, so on cancellation, what do you do with infractions, traffic infractions? What does that do to your license if you don't take care of traffic infractions? Do you get suspended or do you get canceled?
Chairman and Steve, you're talking about a situation where you've been issued a ticket by a policeman and then you simply choose to ignore it?
Mm-hmm.
Up until January 1 of last year, we suspended upon request of the court, court's mm-hmm. discretion. Now, the court has no discretion. They must notify us that you have failed to appear in court. And for a first fail to appear in court, we simply refuse to issue or renew you a license. If you fail to appear on a second offense, we cancel, and finally we do it a third time, then we suspend. Sort of a progressive discipline approach to fail to appear in court.
If I might just add one more thing, just for members, I've put your motor vehicle code in, you know, here. And section, chapter 801 of the code is the definition chapter, or section of the law. And believe it or not, most every word or phrase that comes out throughout the code is defined at some point in chapter 801. So it's real helpful. I find it real helpful in working through the bills. It's like driving privileges has a specific definition. Cancellation does as well. So that might get members and, you know, started when working on bills.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Young.
They all look the same to me.
This has been Madam Chair in this seat for a long time, I guess.
Getting back to page 2 again, in 2213, why are you changing that wording from everything in subsection 13, 16, and 809.410 and substituting just this language?
Mr. Chair, Representative Young, the way 809.360 sub 4 is written now creates what our Assistant Attorney General has described as a negative implication that we can no longer suspend or revoke a person's right to apply in cases such as implied consent and habitual traffic offender procedures. And the ability to suspend, as I point out, the right to apply is very important because we're often dealing with people who do not have a valid license at the time we take our suspension and revocation action. So we have simply substituted for the specific statutory references there, we've simply substituted the phrase, a suspension and revocation of the right to apply shall be for the period provided by law, period, rather than restricting it to the periods provided in 809.410 and 813.400.
But, Mr. Chair, this deals with who you can reinstate without a fee. If I read it correctly.
Mm-hmm. We're on page 2, lines 16 and 17?
No.
I'm sorry, did I misunderstand?
36 through 42.
Oh, in section 3.
Yeah, page 2.
Okay, what's going on in Section 3 is we don't, in the concept in the old code was we do not charge reinstatement, license reinstatement fees to people who were suspended essentially through no fault of their own. And typically that meant people that we suspended because, like your constituent representative presided, they couldn't pass the test. It's not their fault, perhaps they're just not physically capable anymore. We have always also waived the reinstatement fee for people whose we suspended because of their medical condition. In the code rewrite, it is very clear that we no longer have authority to waive the fee for people whose we suspended because of their medical condition. We always thought we had that authority. Legislative counsel would argue that we never had that authority, but we all agree that we don't have that authority now. So we are simply asking that you give us the authority to waive the reinstatement fee for people who we suspend because of their medical condition.
Continue.
Okay, well, I'll go back then to Section 1. There was, as I said, there were three items in Section 1. I've already covered the first. The second is, in fact, a code problem. Under the old code, we could cancel a driver's license for people who misused their license, and we've lost mm-hmm. that authority in the new code. This simply puts it back. These are people who possess, use, or display a fictitious or altered license, that yeah. kind of thing. The third fix in Section 1, when we had canceled people for those reasons that I've described, under the old code, we had authority to issue a hardship license. And the new code has taken that authority away from us. And we're simply asking that that be restored. So we have created a hardship for people who...
Mr. Chair and Mr. DiLorenzo, I guess I'm feeling increasingly the skepticism that I heard earlier that you lost it when the code was revised and you merely need to put it back in. My question becomes almost an historical one. Was it intentionally left out? Was there reason that a prior legislature said that it should not be included or should be left out? I mean, I'm finding myself just a little bit uncomfortable here.
Madam Chair, our understanding was that the purpose of the code rewrite was simply to take this thing where nobody could ever find anything in it and to reorganize it so that it was ordered in a logical way without changing the substantive meaning of anything. It was purely a reorganization. In fact, I was talking to Brad Swank the other day and I said, Brad, the new code is so well organized that I can find things in it without having to use the index. I can simply go to the table of contents, and he was very pleased, and he said that's exactly what our goal was. So that's why we are bringing these things to you, because these are things that were inadvertently changed as part of the rewrite. There was no, we weren't trying to change things.
Mr.
section...
Mr. Chairman, I just might, Representative Bajani, say something to what Tony just said, too. But I know some of you weren't here when the whale went through, but I mean, Montgomery Ward catalog is almost a small piece of issuance, or
used to be,
of what that darn bill was, and it could very well slip by. I thought it was well done, even though there was pain in the tootsie to get it done.
Were you on that subcommittee, Representative Bajani?
I was on one subcommittee on some of the parts of it.
Section 2, I think I've already covered. Apparently, our Assistant Attorney General has indicated that subsection 4 of 809-360 may have unintentionally restricted our authority to suspend the right to apply. So we recommend the change that you see there. In section 3, I've already covered that, I think. We will want to waive the reinstatement fee for people who are suspended because of medical reasons. Right. No fault of their own.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Young.
If that's the only reason you want to change that, I don't see why you need to. When 16, which you're eliminating, clearly says that the privilege has been taken away for any reason having to do with physical or mental health under the old 16. Is there any other reason that this is worded this way?
Mr. Chair, Representative Young. Well, in fact, I think we may be temporarily getting around that issue by using 16, but in fact, we prefer the intent of 809-410, which is our basic authority to suspend licenses, is that each suspension type will stand on its own. And we have, if I can find it real quickly. Yes. 809-410, subsection 14, which as you can see is missing from the existing code. 14 is suspension for failure to obtain required medical clearance. And what we're actually doing right now, I will confess before you and God, is that when we suspend for failure to obtain required medical clearance, we're on the suspension notice, we're also including subsection 16 so that we can waive the fee. But that is only a temporary measure. And whatever comes out of this legislative session, we will be bound by. But we're just, our legal counsel has said it's sort of that way. We would prefer that each suspension stand on its own. So we have right now, if we were to, when we suspend for failure to get medical clearance, we should be suspending exclusively under subsection 14. And if we suspend under subsection 14, as you can see by the way the code is written, we would have to charge a $44 reinstatement fee.
Oh, wow. Mr. Chair.
Representative Young.
What if you suspend on a letter from a physician? How is that covered here? There's been no hearing or anything. Just a straight letter from a physician, which I assume they're required to send if somebody develops an impairment.
Mr. Chair, Representative Young. You're absolutely right. There is, in fact, a statute which requires physicians who treat disorders of the nervous system to report to the state health officer. And when we get those reports, we will ask the person to get medical clearance based on that report. If they do not obtain medical clearance within a certain period of time, we give them quite a bit of time. We then issue a suspension notice until such time as they do get clearance through our medical program, which involves...
That's not the way it worked in the case I was involved in. The letter went from the physician to the department, probably through Dr. Foster's office, but then there was a notice of suspension without any hearing involved in it. And we actually contacted them prior to the suspension and said, call the doctor and he'll tell you that his opinion has been reversed, and they said, gee, we can't do anything. It's the wheels have started to turn, and rather than stopping the suspension, it took 2 weeks after that to get it reinstated, and it was waived. But this doesn't cover that, as I read it. A suspension because a letter came through from the physician.
Well, I represent Mr. Chair, Representative Young. I can't really comment on, you know, without knowing the specifics of that situation, and I would be very happy to look into that.
No, I'm not worried about the specifics of that. I'm saying if the same thing happened 90 days after the session, would that person be reinstated without a fee? And if he were, how would you justify it with the changes that you proposed?
If the legislature makes the changes that we are suggesting here, we will reinstate that person without a fee. If the legislature decides to leave the statute the way it is, we would start charging a fee whenever we suspend under our authority.